Hey y'all, it's Rachel from Smarter Teaching, here to share a latte and give you all the tools you'll need to work smarter, not harder, in your classroom. Hi readers, welcome back. I mean, I guess I'm kind of welcoming myself back. I took a 2-month break this summer. We went home to visit our families for the first time in like 2.5 years, and we also moved, it felt like too much to be podcasting during those times, so I just took a quick break. So I am back today with some more book reviews, and just wondering how you're doing. I don't know about you, but I kind of feel like everything is just like a giant dumpster fire right now. So I'm trying to focus on small details. So I'm just over here reading and house hunting and trying to tweak my kids' morning and afternoon routines to help our days run more smoothly and eliminate the need to like nag and remind them all the time. So I'm just reminding you to take care of yourself too, and saying it's okay to feel like the world is on fire, and it's also okay to do whatever you need to do to cope with that. I have 4 book reviews coming your way today. The Four Winds by Kristen Hanna, Open House, Katie Seiss, Beartown by Frederick Backman, and The Wrong Family by Taryn Fisher. So let's jump right in. Full disclosure, guys, the first book I'm reviewing is The Four Winds by Kristen Hanna. I read this in like June or July, so it's been like 2 months or so since I read it. I liked it, but not as much as I have Kristen Hanna's other historical fiction. I was really excited. I was kind of anticipating this release, and I wasn't disappointed. Definitely not. I just enjoyed her other historical fiction more. So here is the summary. Texas, 1934. Millions are out of work, and a drought has broken the Great Plains. Farmers are fighting to keep their land and their livelihoods as the crops are failing, the water is drying up, and dust threatens to bury them all. One of the darkest periods of the Great Depression, the Dust Bowl era, has arrived with a vengeance. In this uncertain and dangerous time, Elsa Martinelli, like so many of her neighbors, must make an agonizing choice. Fight for the land she loves, or go west to California in search of a better life. The Four Winds is an indelible portrait of America and the American dream, as seen through the eyes of one indomitable woman whose courage and sacrifice will come to define a generation. From the number 1 New York Times bestselling author of The Nightingale and The Great Alone comes an epic novel of love, heroism, and hope set against the backdrop of one of America's most defining eras, the Great Depression. All right. If you follow me on Instagram, you know that I cried reading this book. And normally eye leakage like guarantees like 4.5 stars for me in a review, but this book just didn't hit that way for me. Normally I love Kristen Hanna's historical fiction, and I love the way that one of the things I love about it is that she ties up everyone's story at the end. The too long didn't read version of this review is that I felt like we had a lot of the same happening and then abruptly wrapped up the book in a semi-unsatisfying way. What I did like is this book's focus on the Dust Bowl. This was something that before reading this book, I knew just a little bit about from history classes in high school and college, but it was never something I super focused on. I knew that it was concurrent to and intensified the Great Depression, but that was about all I knew. So to Kristen Hanna's credit, I feel like she really, again, she really illuminated what living through this was like, much like I felt like when I read The Nightingale. It felt to me like one of the most clear depictions. I don't know. I felt like it illuminated, that book also illuminated what living through World War II was like in 4 people. The main character of the story, Elsa, heads to California with her kids, but her in-laws stay, summary says Texas, but I thought this book took place in Oklahoma. We'll say Texas. So throughout the book, we have this lens of both people who fled and people who stayed, which I found interesting. You definitely have all of those typical Kristen Hanna storylines, mother-daughter relationship, activism, family ties. I felt really vested with these characters. They are very interesting and like multidimensional, and they feel like real people. You hate some, you love some, as is often the case. What didn't land for me in this book was how long the story went on and how abruptly it ended. I generally find with Kristen Hannah's historical fiction that I feel really satisfied by the ending, and that just wasn't the case with this one. Maybe I'm looking back like with a tinge of affection for her other books that I've read, like The Great Alone, The Nightingale, and The Winter Garden. But it just really felt to me like the wrap up here was super abrupt. And I don't want to share a ton about that because I don't want to spoil this book for you if you haven't read it. But I just felt like we were going, hitting the same barriers. Then finally the tide kind of goes the way you want as a reader. And then, bam, the story ends. I just wish that we hit, and I also feel like normally her books end with a very clear resolution and you sort of know what happens to the characters beyond the book. And I also didn't really feel like that. I didn't feel like we had that same level of resolution here. Now, I will say that this book, I believe, was published in 2020. So there is either a foreword or an afterword, an epilogue of some type, where Kristen Hannah talks about how it was sort of bizarre to write this book during the pandemic. So that could also be part of it. I rated this book 4 stars on Goodreads because you cannot fractionally utilize stars there. But I think for me, it probably would have been more like 3.5 to 3.75. The bottom line is, if you like historical fiction, if you like Kristen Hannah, if you like reading about 20th century America, if you like reading about mother-daughter relationships, or family relationships, I do believe you'll enjoy this book. I'm sure you can find it at your library or your local independent bookstore, and I would certainly encourage you to give it a go. It was not a bad book. It was quite interesting. And like I said, I learned a lot about the Dust Bowl. So if you're a read-to-learn type person too, this will be very interesting to you. It just was not... I just didn't love it as much as I thought that I would, knowing that it was Kristen Hannah's historical fiction. Okay, so the next book that I read over the summer was called Open House by Katie Seiss. This book I got from Amazon First Reads. You sign up and you get some free books. Guys, the details... I'm so sorry. I really don't know the details, but like anybody can pick to do Amazon First Reads. You just like Google it and I'm sure you'll be able to figure it out. But I read this book because I had gotten it off of Amazon First Reads and it was just sort of hanging out like in my Kindle library. And I had a lull in what was coming up from the library. So I figured I would just give this book a go. Here is the publisher's summary. A missing young woman, 10 years gone. A town still held in the grip of an unsolved mystery. A breathtaking novel of psychological suspense by the best-selling author of We Were Mothers. A decade ago in upstate New York, art student Emma McCullough walked into the woods and was never seen again. It's a mystery that still haunts her bucolic university town and her broken family, especially her sister Haley, whose need for closure has become an obsession. But now, finally, the first piece of evidence in the vanishing has been found. Emma's bracelet, lodged in a frozen piece of earth at the bottom of a gorge. For Emma's 3 best college friends, for a beloved former teacher, and for Haley, the chilling trinket is more than a clue in a resurrected cold case. It's a trigger. Then a woman is attacked during an open house, and the connections between the two crimes, 10 winters apart, begin to surface. So do the secrets that run as deep and dark as the currents in this quiet river town. Let me start this review by saying I had to go and read a few other readers' Goodreads review to remember how I even felt about this book. So clearly it's not very memorable. I feel like I would give this book like 2.5 to 2.75 stars. Basically, this book follows Haley as she tries to solve her sister Emma's murder from 10 years prior. Several relationships and dynamics in this book just felt a little stilted and unrealistic to me. It's a thriller slash mystery. It didn't change my life, but I also didn't hate it. If you like this genre, give it a read. I don't really know that I would purposefully search out this book or like spend a lot of money on it, but if I got it from the library or if I found it at like a used bookstore, I'd probably give it a go. Like I said, it's not gonna enhance your life, but it's not gonna detract from it. All right, guys, the fourth book I read over the summer, I actually read this when we were back visiting our families, was Bear Town by Frederick Backman. I'm going to tell you this book was a bit heavy. If you can get over the premise, it's a good read, and you guys know how I feel about, maybe you don't. I super love Frederick Backman. Like, I'm still talking to people about how much I loved A Man Called Ove, and it's been like 5 months since I read that book. Okay, so here's the publisher summary of Bear Town. The number one New York Times best-selling author of A Man Called Ove returns with a dazzling, profound novel about a small town with a big dream and the price required to make it come true. People say Bear Town is finished, a tiny community nestled deep in the forest. It is slowly losing ground to the ever-encroaching trees. But down by the lake stands an old ice rink, built generations ago by the working men who founded this town. And in that ice rink is the reason people in Bear Town believe tomorrow will be better than today. Their junior ice hockey team is about to compete in the national semifinals, and they actually have a shot at winning. All the hopes and dreams of this place now rest on the shoulders of a handful of teenage boys. Being responsible for the hopes of an entire town is a heavy burden, and the semifinal match is the catalyst for a violent act that will leave a young girl traumatized in a town in turmoil. Accusations are made, and like ripples on a pond, they travel through all of Bear Town, leaving no resident unaffected. Bear Town explores the hope that brings a small community together, the secrets that tear it apart, and the courage it takes for an individual to go against the grain. In this story of a small forest town, Frederick Backman has found the entire world. So before I get into my review, I just need a trigger warning for you guys. The central conflict of this book is a rape accusation. So if that's like a no-go for you, then pass on this book. It's I wouldn't say that the event is necessarily graphic, but like they do just like the book obviously like describes the rape, and that's like the central catalyst for what happens through the rest of the story. You can't really avoid it if you read the book. So like I said, if that's too much for you, then pass on this book. However, as usual, Backman has created a really beautiful cast of characters for this book. And while it's for sure the toughest read of any of his books so far, I do think that it's ultimately optimistic. This book is a little hard to review without giving anything away. So I will say that, A, if you like Frederick Backman and his writing style, then I think you should read it. And B, I think that this is genuinely just a really good book, and it took me a long time to get there. When I first finished it, I was disappointed and angry. But as I have had time to think about the book and the ultimate resolution, I have warmed towards the overall novel. For me, it was a 4-star book. I would say it was probably 3 when I immediately finished it because I was unhappy. But it does have a lot of nice resolution. The story ends immediately, kind of in a disappointing fashion, but almost all of the central characters are played out to the future. And a lot of those resolutions are a bit more satisfying. I'm sure you can find this at your local library or your local independent bookstore if you are a book buyer. But this was a really good book, and I think it's also quite relevant. So if you enjoy Backman, if you enjoy contemporary fiction, I would definitely recommend this book. Okay, guys. The last book I read and completed was The Wrong Family by Taryn Fisher. I was pretty pumped to read this book because it's been popping up on Instagram feeds and some Facebook groups that I'm part of, but it really wasn't what I expected. I am also here to tell you this is, I tried to keep my spoilers to a minimum, but I absolutely have like a touch of spoilers in here. So if you haven't read this book and you're planning to, feel free to skip this review and go straight to the end of the episode. But I just have a lot of feelings about this book. Here is the publisher summary. Juno was wrong about Winnie Crouch. Before moving in with the Crouch family, Juno thought Winnie and her husband Nigel had the perfect marriage, the perfect son, the perfect life. Only now that she's living in their beautiful home, she sees the cracks in the crumbling facade are too deep to ignore. Still, she isn't one to judge. After her grim diagnosis, the retired therapist simply wants a place to live out the rest of her days in peace. But that peace is shattered the day Juno overhears a chilling conversation between Winnie and Nigel. She shouldn't get involved. She really shouldn't. But this could be her chance to make a few things right. Because if you thought that Juno didn't have a secret of her own, then you were wrong about her too. All right, guys, this book has a 3.5 rating on Goodreads, and I'm going to tell you that when I finished it, I asked in a Facebook group I'm part of if I did it wrong. The premise of this book is super bizarre. Juno is a retired therapist who is homeless. She wanders into the Crouch's family house during renovations. The construction crew leaves and she's like stuck inside. And then she hides in the closet and basically just starts living there. What? What in the world? All right. So even if I got over, after I got over the totally bizarre premise of this book, I just could not abide. First of all, when I think about the premise, I still get a little worked up. Like, who? How can you live in someone's home and they don't notice you? The whole thing is so bizarre. So bizarre. And there are several really interesting and intriguing plot points in this book. I just felt like they were all wildly underdeveloped. And the ultimate climax and resolution of this book feels totally disjointed. I had so many questions when I finished this book. What ultimately happened to Jocelyn? Why is it relevant that Winnie and Dakota are twins? What in the world with Dakota coming back at the end of the book? And do Winnie and her kid Sam just live out the rest of their days normally, like none of this ever happened? What about the girl that the husband was having an affair with? Why doesn't Winnie want to help with the investigation? What really happened? So we know what happens to Juno, like in real time, in the like resolution of the story. But what? So we get this weird, backstory on Juno, but like she's a retired therapist. She lived in New Mexico and basically she like randomly, I don't know, I suppose not randomly. She ultimately like sleeps with a patient and the patient's wife discovers their affair. And so she obviously like loses her license and then ultimately, I believe it's prosecuted and like serves some jail time. And so then she's like, okay, cool. Like after this, my life is a mess, but she never really, I don't know. I just feel like they tease it more that happened in her life prior to this story, like prior to this story taking place in Seattle, but they never really like develop her whole backstory. So Dakota is like Winnie's twin brother and he's a mess, but it feels to me like there's two different books happening here and they like make it into the same book together, but none of them really belong together. Like, so I feel like, the premise is basically Juno thinks that this family is perfect because she watches them walk through the park where she's living as a homeless person. And then, like I said, she wanders into their house and ultimately starts living there. But then she thinks that their kid was stolen, like an illicit adoption. So then she does this like super like sea work sleuthing and reaches out to the family of that she thinks like the family of who she thinks the adopted kid, like the kid came from. But it turns out like the kid wasn't adopted. So it feels like, and then we have this whole like brother who's like jealous and can't get his act together and has drug and alcohol dependency issues. And so it feels like we have two totally separate stories that just happen to occur within the same novel, and they don't feel really connected. Like, if the brother thought that maybe the kid was adopted and reached out to the family, okay. If this crazy homeless lady living in the family ended up being like the, I don't know. I just feel like there's two different stories going on here, and I'm really, we never find out what happened to Jocelyn, the girl who had the baby that Juno thought she had stolen. Like, it's just a totally weird story. It, I feel like nothing connected. Nobody. It just feels like too many things weren't resolved. The book was, in theory, interesting, but like, and I mean, it wasn't, this isn't her first book. Like, people, I'm pretty sure this is not the first book by Taryn Fisher. Like, she's written other books as well. So I don't know. This book just totally fell flat to me. I feel like there were a lot of things that came, like there were a lot of really interesting pieces here. But it was, I feel like everything didn't come together, or it was like underdeveloped or unresolved. It was not a book that I enjoyed, in case you guys couldn't tell. I mean, I would give this book like 2, 2.5 stars. It just fell really flat to me. I don't like to tell you not to read books, and maybe you will like this book, but for me, I just felt like it was, at the same time, too much and not enough. Like, too many ideas, not enough resolution, not enough development. I just, as I said, I couldn't get on board. If you're into like a mystery slash crime novel, you might be into this. If you like Taryn Fisher, you might be into this book. But like I said, even once I sort of got over the premise, like the totally bizarre and weird premise of this book, for me, it just wasn't, this book just was not for me. Maybe it's for you. It's not for me. Right, readers, and that's really it. This month I'm reading Britt Marie Was Here, also by my main man, Frederick Backman. So stay tuned for that review next month. And after that, I have checked out from the library the book about vacation. People We Meet on Vacation, I think, is the title. So you can stay tuned for more previews on Instagram at Smarter Teaching, all one word. You can check out show notes on rachelwilser.com, WILSER. And make sure you follow my tiny little pod wherever you listen to podcasts so you know as soon as episodes drop. You can find me on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Google Podcasts. I will see you guys next month. Okay, bye.